This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast about how to make your life happier, healthier, more productive, and more creative. This week, we'll talk about why you should do a 10-minute closer and discuss the problem of demanding neighbors. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature. I'm in New York City, and with me is my sister, Elizabeth Kraft, who I will get to see you soon, Elizabeth, very briefly, but I'm hoping that I will get to hang out with you a bit when I'm in L.A. soon.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in L.A. And yes, Gretch, I think Jack is hoping that you'll make some s'mores with him.
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to see if it happens.
Excellent. Now, before we jump in, we wanted to put out a call to the listeners. Here in the United States, it's the summertime, and a lot of people go on summer travel, summer trips, summer vacations. Coming up, a lot of times in the United States, this is in August. And so for our very special episode that is airing on August 1st, we want to pack it with hacks, tips, strategies, and try this at home ideas for making travel easier and more pleasant.
And we really want to feature lots of voices. So if you're inclined, please leave us a voicemail message at 774-277-9336, or easier to remember, 77-HAPPY-336. And you could also email us a voice memo to podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And we want to include lots of ideas. So it'd be really helpful if when you're giving your strategy, your hack, your try this at home, if you keep it brief and to the point.
Yes, but not too brief. We want to hear your story.
Yeah, not too brief.
And then, Gretchen, I wanted to mention that your audiobook for Happier at Home goes on sale next week on July 17th. You re-recorded it with your own voice.
Yes.
Because you realized that's what the people wanted.
Yes. So if you are looking for an audiobook to listen to as part of your summer travels or any travels or just in general, yes, you can listen to Happier at Home, voiced by me, as they say. It was a lot of fun to do that. So, Elizabeth, this week, our Try This at Home tip is to end each stage of your day with a 10-minute closer.
That sounds good. What is it exactly? No. I like the title.
So this is an idea I write about in my book, Outer Order, Inner Calm, which I'm getting ready to stop editing finally so that it can be published in March. And the idea of the 10-minute closer came to me because, you know, when you're with children, you are so careful to give them transition times. Like we're told as parents and teachers and everything, like they need notice. They need to be kind of gently guided from one activity to another. They need transitions. You can't just abruptly expect them to go from one thing to another. They can't just like go from active play into bed. They can't be like busily crayoning something and then all of a sudden put their stuff away and go to lunch with no warning. And like many things having to do with raising children, I think that things that apply to children apply to adults just as much. And I think that we need transitions as adults.
Yeah, we all need transitions. It helps so that you're not just abruptly, you know, trying to put yourself in a totally different mindset.
Yeah, I think that's very hard for people to do. It's certainly hard for me to do. I need a lot of transition time. And I think a great way to build in that transition that's very helpful and effective is to use a 10-minute closer to spend 10 minutes kind of cleaning up lightly cleaning up whatever stage you've been in as a way to kind of put an end to that part of your day and to say, and now I'm going to move into the next part of my day. And then, of course, the nice thing about using your 10-minute closer in that way is that when you come back to whatever that stage is, if it's your desk or whatever, it's going to be nicer because you have spent that time cleaning it up.
Yeah, that's a huge advantage. So what do you do like at the end of your work day, Gretch? Do you have a routine?
Yes. And I've started doing this, and I have to say it's really, it's like calming. It kind of gives you that feeling of like you've checked something off, like, okay, my day is done. And then in the morning, it's so much nicer because my desk and my office is so much cleaner. So what I do is, first of all, I glance over my calendar for the next day. Mm. And this has saved me many, many kind of panic attacks. I get rid of all the dirty dishes. I throw away trash, like if I have a dried out pen or I have a food wrapper or something. Mm. I put loose change in my change envelope, which I carry around in my backpack. I put away pens and paper clips and binder clips and, you know, my stapler and all this stuff that just gets scattered out over my day. I toss any paper. You know, I constantly am making notes to myself, and that can accumulate. And then I'm like, what is this? I have to look at it. So I stay on top of that. File things and anything I've used. Like just recently, I had to consult Harry Potter and the Order of the Phoenix. So I had it up there and I'm like, okay, well, I've done what I need to do. Now it's time to put Harry Potter back on the shelf.
That's great. As you can imagine, this, I never do this.
Yeah.
And I should, because like if I had Harry Potter out, it would probably be on my desk for the next 3 years until you came to clutter clear again.
That's why I love to come. Yes.
But I do think this would be a great mental exercise for me, both just putting the stuff away and mentally letting go of the workday. I mean, I think for me, it's hard to transition because I feel like I should always do more work.
Yeah.
So it's like this ritual would be me accepting I'm done with work, which would probably be a good thing because then I can more fully relax.
Well, it's interesting because Thoreau said, I love a broad margin to my life. And I feel like you do have, you're like rushing from one thing to the next thing. Like you are always like trying to like do one more thing right before you go to the door. And that's part of why you're so productive and effective. But it can kind of give you this feeling of being overwhelmed and then like you can't find anything. And then like, where is that? And then there's just a bunch of trash everywhere. It's if you can take the 10 minutes and do it, I found that it really does put me in a calmer state of mind, and then I enter in more easily the next day. Because, you know, I don't know if you have this thing where you walk into your office. Also, you share an office. So it's like you walk in and you're just hit by, oh my gosh, this explosion of stuff that has to be used and sorted and understood. And it just, it can feel overwhelming just to step in across the threshold in the morning.
Yeah. And I mean, I'll also say that I think you talk about doing this before bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's another transition. For me, it would be an even bigger deal. So let's talk about doing it before bed.
Yeah, well, what are the kind of things you can imagine doing before bed? Like if you were going to make your, because you don't naturally do this. This is true. This for you would take like a lot of deliberate, like you would have to make up your mind to do it.
Yeah, but I think I should. You know, putting stuff away. Again, it's the kind of the same things. It's like putting stuff away, get, you know, dirty dishes, trash. Also, like, I don't know if this counts, like doing a, you know, skincare regime.
Yeah.
Or if that's another, if that's like a whole other routine.
It can be whatever you want it to be. But yeah.
Going through the mail and getting rid of junk mail.
Yeah.
Putting the remote, you know, in its charger. I mean, so putting shoes away would be a big one for me.
Shoes away, jackets, coats, stuff like that. And then just things that are very just cosmetic, but that I think calm you down, like putting chairs back on, like, you know, like our kitchen table chairs are always out all over the place. Mm. Just putting those back, closing drawers, cabinets, closets, that kind of, it just looks more orderly and it doesn't take any time. For us, dog toys. Barnaby loves dog toys. And by the end of the day, there's like 10 dog toys all over the place. And it just looks messy. And then if I put them away, it looks, it's very disproportionate effect.
And then you would be so nice to walk out in the morning and, oh, it's so nice and ready for the day. I mean, the funny thing, Gretch, for me is, you know, Adam and I, like, we have two things that we fight about over and over. One is our struggle over, like, being on time, me wanting to be on time, him not caring. And the other one is me being messy.
It's funny. They're very symmetrical.
Yeah.
I feel like
they are, right? but if I just did this every day, it would probably like improve my marriage like noticeably. So I am really, I want to do this, and I want you to like check in with me.
Okay, I will.
In a month and see if I'm, you know, if I'm following through and the impact it's having. Because I think if I would just do this every day, it would take care of so many of those things that annoy Adam.
But also, like, maybe to, because you're the queen of reframing, is to think of it as like you're not doing it for him, even though you are doing it for him, but you're doing it for yourself because it's going to calm you. I mean, you have racing thoughts at night. It's going to help you sleep. It's a way to like create an environment that's going to, it's like a way for you to wind down. It's a kind of clutter clearing meditation, you know, like it's something that you can enjoy. And I find it very relaxing. It's just like, and I don't do anything hard. I don't make any decisions. It's just the grunt work. And so, and I do find that it makes it easier to move through the day because, and then you can look back and you're like, oh, everything looks so nice. You know, it gives you that little feeling of like accomplishment that is very energizing. And it is true that for most people, outer order contributes to inner calm. It just does. And if you can find those little ways of creating outer order without having to feel like you need to take off the whole weekend and clean out the garage, it just gives you that little boost.
Yeah, and I could see that if I do this nightly, it would start triggering like sleep feelings because you just
associate
it's that routine.
Yeah. Well, so let us know if you do try this at home and whether doing a 10-minute closer works for you after work, before bed, whenever you do it. Let us know on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook. Drop us an email at podcast@gretchenrubin.com or go to happiercast.com/177. This is episode 177 for everything related to this episode.
Coming up, we've got a happiness hack about how to buy shoes online. But first, this break.
There are some stories from our mother's life that I love to hear about. I love hearing about how she played with a tin dollhouse when she was a girl. And just in time for Mother's Day, I found the perfect gift that captures all her stories for our families forever. It's called Storyworth. Storyworth helps you preserve precious memories and stories from your mother and mother figures for years to come. And it makes a wonderful keepsake book so you never, never lose these wonderful stories and memories.
Here's how it works. Each week, Storyworth emails your loved one a thought-provoking question that you get to help pick, like, what was your favorite toy as a little girl, or what was your first job? All your loved one needs to do is respond to that email with a story. Long or short, it doesn't matter. Give all the moms in your life a unique, heartfelt gift you'll all cherish for years, Storyworth. Right now, save $10 on your first purchase when you go to storyworth.com/happier. That's storyworth.com/happier to save $10 on your first purchase. When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. LinkedIn has a vast network of more than a billion professionals, which makes it the best place to hire. It gives you access to professionals you can't find anywhere else. LinkedIn does all that while making the process easy and intuitive.
I know that when I've been hiring, it's really hard to do. It's really hard to find quality candidates. It's really hard to handle the process. Hiring is easy when you have lots of quality candidates, like with LinkedIn Jobs. It's so easy, in fact, that 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply. Elizabeth, I have to say, I love this week's happiness hack. It's so concrete, and it solves a problem in such an obvious and yet not obvious way.
Yeah, this hack comes from our listener, Christine, who works full-time and has 3 kids under age 5.
Wow.
Yeah. She says, I seem never to know my kids' shoe sizes. Their feet are growing so fast, and it's always a guessing game when I try to buy shoes for them online. I was in a shoe store last month and saw the foot measuring thingy called a Brannick device, it turns out, And I thought, oh my gosh, I so wish I had one of those at home. A quick Amazon search later, and I am the proud owner of my very own foot measuring thingy, and I never have to guess on the kids' shoe sizes again.
This is such a great idea.
Yes. Well, it's like, duh.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. I looked online for like a Brannock device, Brannock. I will link to all this, by the way, in the show notes. But it turns out that Brannock devices, like the kind that you see in a shoe store, the metal kind that are very heavy, those are very substantial, but they are not cheap. Mm. If you like, for someone like Christine, it could be a good investment because she's got lots of kids with lots of years. But if you don't want to spend as much, if you look at foot measuring device, there are some ones that are like not quite so substantial, but they're a lot cheaper. So you can kind of pick and choose if you're interested in this, the one that's kind of the right level for you.
Yeah, I love this. We never know what size Jack is because he changes constantly.
Well, and they
like
do that thing where
2 weeks.
You're supposed to like outline their foot on a piece of paper. I mean, it's just, yes. How can you know? This is great. This is a great hack. Excellent. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you.
Now, Elizabeth, for this week's Know Yourself Better question, I love this question. It is a question inspired by Mae Sarton. So Mae Sarton was an American poet, novelist, and memoirist. And I have to say, I have never read her poetry or her fiction, but I have read all her journals and memoirs. Mm. She published something like 10 journals, many on the theme of solitude because she lived by herself. She spent a lot of time writing and working on her garden, and she also writes about aging. Many of these memoirs were written when she was in her 70s and 80s.
Mm.
And I really love them. And one thing that's interesting about Mae Sarton is she loved, loved, loved flowers. It is a huge theme in her work. And in her memoir, Plant Dreaming Deep, she writes, "If someone asked me what my idea of luxury is, I think my answer would be flowers in the house all year round."
Hmm. That's a great question. What's luxury for you?
Yeah. Because I think, you know, for her, she knew what it was. Flowers in the house all year round. And she really cultivated that. Excuse the pun. Like, she really went out of her way to have flowers in the house so that she had that feeling of luxury.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good question to ask yourself because a little bit of luxury in the right place makes life just feel more comfortable, more beautiful, just more elevated.
Yes.
And when you know what luxury is for you, you can try to incorporate it and then just not worry so much about the things that don't matter to you in terms of luxuries, even if for other people, those things are luxurious.
Well, and I think it's that old thing, like what's fun for you may not be fun for someone else and vice versa. Like the things that you consider luxurious might seem completely a matter of indifference. And a lot of times you don't need much. Like for Christmas, I was trying to think of a present for Jamie. And I thought he had just started getting really into bourbon. For a long time, he couldn't drink alcohol because he had hepatitis C. But once he was cured, yay, he developed a taste for bourbon. So to make it just more luxurious, I got him two of those Waterford Crystal old-fashioned glasses. I found them on sale. Elizabeth, you were with me, I think, when I found them. They were on sale. It's a set of two. And he uses it all the time. And it's just
That's great.
It just raises that little bit of life into just making it feel just more luxurious, more lovely.
Well, Gretch, one thing I find luxurious, which is another glassware-related item, is you know I love mugs.
Oh, yeah.
And on the weekends, I use my china mugs. So I have, you know, I'm collecting a new set of china bit by bit, and part of that collection includes mugs. It's Jalisco Country Estate in Flint, for anyone who's interested and wants to look up my new china pattern.
Very attractive.
But anyway, I have these mugs, and so I use them on the weekend because I'm like, I have these gorgeous mugs. I want to use them, but they're kind of special. So I always use them on the weekend, and I love waking up Saturday morning, going out and getting coffee in my china mug.
Well, see, this is a perfect kind of luxury because it really makes like the weekend feel more special, and you save it so that it just doesn't become the ordinary thing. You know, on most days you're just using your like giveaway mugs or whatever. That's a great luxury, and it doesn't cost you anything. Like, you already have the mug. You might as well use it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, for me, it's perfume. You know, I'm a freak about
you love,
perfume and scent. And the fact is you can't wear perfume all the time, because if I'm going to someplace where I'm going to be around a lot of people, I know that a lot of people don't like to be around perfume. So I wear it like when I'm home alone mostly, mm-hmm. or like at night. And I love at night. I'm like, ooh, what perfume will I pick? And it just feels like such a little moment of luxury to pick out my perfume.
You know something that feels very luxurious to me that I don't have that I think I should get because it's under $200 is one of those, a throw blanket that's like a faux fur.
Oh, I've seen those.
Throw blanket.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've gotten them for other people
because
I always think, oh, my gosh, this is like so soft and wonderful.
Yes.
And that to me is so luxurious, and I'm always cold and I would use it all the time. So I think I should get myself one of those.
Yes.
And then at night watching TV, I can pull my faux fur blanket over me and I'll feel very luxurious.
Well, see, I think one of the things about luxury too is a lot of times it helps us connect to our bodies, and that's very satisfying. Like, I'm getting very obsessed with the five senses. And so using your sense of touch like that is great. But Elizabeth, there's something that for many people is a luxury, but I know for you is not a luxury item, is like fancy coffee. I remember whenever we're in New York, you're like, I love deli coffee. That's my favorite kind of coffee. It's like the cheaper, the better.
It's true. I like bad coffee. I don't like, quote unquote, good coffee.
Yeah.
It's too strong for me. I like 7-Eleven coffee. I like deli coffee. I like, you know, Dunkin' Donuts coffee, which is, you know, actually Dunkin' Donuts is considered one of the best.
Yeah.
But I love bad coffee.
Well, I think it's this idea that when we give more to ourselves, we can ask more from ourselves. So if you're asking yourself to do a lot of things that are, you know, a stretch or a little bit hard, if you give yourself a luxury, then you don't feel deprived. You don't feel like, oh, well, I've just been, you know, I'm out of whack. You feel like you're taking care of yourself.
Yeah. And I also think it's, you know, when you think about luxury, it's like it doesn't have to be a yacht. You know, there are little things that can feel very luxurious, like nice soap. You know, that's something that can really elevate your bathing ritual and make you feel like you've treated yourself and it's not expensive.
Here's a great, I was reading this book called Iris Apfel, Accidental Icon, Musings of a Geriatric Starlet. It's all about Iris Apfel and her. She's this 96-year-old woman. She's a style icon. You've seen her picture. She's an older woman with like enormous round dark glasses and a lot of accessories.
Yes.
She's like super fabulous. And she says for her, the greatest luxury is peace of mind. But she also talks about a great grilled cheese sandwich, listening to Sinatra songs in the wee hours, cruising a flea market, caviar, which she describes as her drug of choice, and slipping into a freshly made bed with crisp, clean sheets, and finally eating stuffed cabbage. So those are all things, for the most part, that are pretty inexpensive and that, for her, though, give her that feeling of luxury.
Interesting. It's fun hearing what makes people have that sort of rush of pleasure.
Yeah. I wonder if for some people it'd be about something they loved in childhood. Like the things that we loved in childhood or that were treats then, I think, kind of stay treats.
Yeah.
Stay feeling luxurious.
Yeah. So Gretchen, it would be so fun to hear from our listeners about what they find luxurious, because I think people are going to have radically different ideas.
Yes. Yes. But we can all get ideas from each other, because I think sometimes saying to yourself like, ooh, this is a luxury, just makes an ordinary thing feel more special. So maybe realizing that, oh, a great grilled cheese sandwich is a luxury for somebody, it could help you cultivate it as a luxury yourself.
Yes.
Now for a listener question. As we said, you can always leave us a voicemail question at 774-277-9336 or 77-HAPPY-336.
This week's listener question comes from Jill. She wrote to us in response to the Try This at Home we talked about in episode 164, which was Don't Assign or Accept Homework. She says, today's episode on not assigning or accepting homework hit home today on a work-from-home level. I own my own one-person consulting firm and, like you, Gretchen, primarily work from home. Since I began working remotely 3 years ago, my neighbors and family often ask for favors during the day. Several times a month, someone will ask if I can watch their child for 2 hours while they go to an appointment, if I can let out their dog while they're on vacation, if I can coordinate some event for our kids, etc. At first, I frequently said yes because I wanted to be helpful, and surprise, I'm an obliger. Of course, I meet outer expectations the moment they're expected. But now that work has picked up and I can hardly keep up with my own personal tasks in a given week, I have a hard time wanting to give someone even 15 minutes of a favor. I consistently say no and have explained that I'm very busy working during the day. But the more they ask, the more the animosity grows on my side, and I'm struggling to come up with ways to create boundaries. For a while, I considered renting office space so people would take my work more seriously, but I don't feel that I should have to go to that length to set a boundary. How do you create boundaries in your work-from-home environment? What a great question.
What a great question. Well, I think what's interesting about Jill is Jill can say no. So she is able to say no, but she's feeling resentment. So that's what she's struggling with. So she is able to say no, but she's feeling anger and animosity. And so she wants to be able to feel better about it, you know, and not feel tormented by the fact that she's saying no.
Yeah. And my take on that is that she needs to release her own guilt about saying no.
Like, yes.
I think the reason she feels angry is because she is an obliger. She does want to meet outer expectations. So she feels guilty. And then when you feel guilty, that makes you angry, which is perfectly understandable. And she should not feel the least bit guilty for saying no. I mean, you know, yes, she works at home, but she's working. I mean, can you imagine, like, if I was at the office and a neighbor called and was like, can you let my dog out?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, I'm at work. It's just, you know, the fact that she's working at home doesn't mean that, like, it's not still her work day.
Well, and also the fact is, like, you say, oh, well, can you just let my dog out? That takes 10 minutes. It's like, yeah, but now my whole day has to be organized around that. And then your dog runs away, or your dog won't come out, or, you know, your dog is throwing up. And now it's like, do I clean it up? Do I call the vet? Do I call you? It's, or watch your child? That's a big ask. Have a child.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, you know, like it's, and this comes to what we talked about in episode 28. And one of my favorite posts that I've ever written in my life is about the problem of shared work. So I'll post links to that. But fact number one about shared work is that work done by other people sounds easy. So these assignments sound easy, but then it's like if you're going to be there to receive a package, your whole day has to be organized around that. And then if it's like, oh, they're delayed an hour and a half, it's like, well, what if you had an appointment, but now you can't go to your own appointment because you've got to be there to meet this important package? It's like, it's not a small thing. It's not a small thing in a workday to be asked to do these totally unrelated side errands. And so, again, why the guilt? You need to stay free and focused for your work day.
Yeah, I don't know if these people asking for favors understand the mental space that having a task like in front of you takes up. So it's like, okay, if I know at 4 p.m. I have to go let the dog out, it's like, you're like, okay, now it's noon. Now it's what you're sort of, doing this mental calculation. And it can be really distracting.
Yes. Yeah. And it can stop you from organizing things in the way that's more efficient for you. Because you're like, well, now would be the best time for me to go run this errand, but I can't because in 10 minutes I have to be,
But, you know, this isn't to say, I mean, I'm sure Jill, you know, will help people out in an emergency.
Yes.
She sounds like a very nice person.
Yes.
Who does do people a lot of favors. This isn't saying you should never do anything for anyone. But, like, your work has to be a priority, and everybody needs to understand that. And if they don't understand that, it's not your problem.
But also, I think, and this is another thing about shared work, is the more you say yes, the more people will ask, and the more they will assume that it's no big deal, because they're like, she does this all the time. It can't be a big deal. And the more you say no, people learn to stop asking if it's not an emergency. They're like, you know, Jill's not just not available to do this kind of thing. If it, you know,
right.
And so by persistently saying no, you might find that you will get fewer asks. And so people just have to readjust. Because at first you were saying yes. Now they have to adjust to you saying, you know what, I'm really too busy. I can't do that. But stick to your guns, and then they will accommodate that. They'll learn what you're willing to do and what is just too much of an ask.
And worst case scenario, you could always lie and say, oh, I have a conference call that, you know, I don't know yet when it's set, so I can't commit to doing anything.
Yeah. And certainly don't rent out an office space. My gosh, the money and then like going back and forth. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, no, that's good. Well, this is a legitimate issue. Don't feel bad, Jill.
Yeah.
Yeah, keep drawing those boundaries and eventually everyone will get the message.
Yes, so thanks for that one.
Coming up, Gretchen gives herself a demerit related to Barnaby's birthday. But first, this break.
Eating processed food for every meal isn't healthy for people or for dogs. We all know that. And kibble is subject to multiple rounds of high heat processing, making it an ultra processed food. The Farmer's Dog is real, fresh, healthy food with whole meat and veggies gently cooked in human grade kitchens to preserve their nutritional value. My dog Barnaby loves the Farmer's Dogs. When he sees me pulling one of those packets out, he comes running. It's personalized, vet-developed, and it has recipes for as little as $2 a day. Meals arrive in pre-portioned, ready-to-serve packs, and they're conveniently delivered on whatever schedule works for me.
Get 50% off your first box of fresh, healthy food at thefarmersdog.com/happier. That's 50% off your first box at thefarmersdog.com/happier.
You know, Elizabeth, it's important to me to be a treasure house of happy memories, but sometimes it's hard to frame something that you want to keep. Like, I have had pieces of children's art that I really wanted to frame, but it's kind of unconventionally sized and it's hard to do. But FrameBridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. You can easily order online at framebridge.com, or you can visit one of their 20-plus retail stores. FrameBridge custom frames your pieces in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free.
Gretchen, I realized I didn't have a recent framed photo of you and me and mom and dad, and I really wanted one. So when we were in Kansas City and took a great picture, I uploaded it, sent it to FrameBridge, and now I have a beautiful framed photo of us. See why FrameBridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit FrameBridge.com or a local FrameBridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's FrameBridge.com.
Okay, Gretch, it's time for demerits and gold stars. And this is an odd-numbered episode, which means you are up for a happiness demerit.
Yes, recently we had Barnaby's birthday, which is June 24th, and I totally forgot it. You know, I love minor holidays. Oh, I love kind of family, reasons for family holidays. And this is the perfect minor holiday, like dog birthday. What is more fun than dog birthday? And I just completely forgot it. And like the next day, my kids are like, oh, yeah, we didn't do anything for Barnaby's birthday. So the lesson is put it on the calendar, like everybody else in my family's birthday, and then we will remember it. And I have a year to come up with, like, what is the fun way to celebrate a dog's birthday.
How old was Barnaby, by the way?
He was three.
Three? Oh, yes. Happy birthday, Barnaby.
Happy birthday, Barnaby. So that was my demerit. So, Elizabeth, what was your gold star for this week?
Well, I am giving my gold star to my sister-in-law, Olivia. She gave me for my birthday this... It's a, I don't know if I to call it a water bottle or a beverage.
It's like a
receptacle.
Cup. It's a cup.
It's a corkical stemless wine glass. So it's really the main reason it exists is to take wine on a picnic.
See,
it keeps
I couldn't
it really.
You were
cold.
Telling me about this and I couldn't envision what a stemless wine glass is. It's a cup is what
well,
a person.
It's a cup.
It's a cup. Yeah. Yes. But it's an amazing cup.
Yeah, Gretch, what I love about it is that it's so satisfying to drink out of this cup. And what I've realized about myself is I hate water bottles, which, of course, we all should be using reusable, bottles to drink water out of instead of plastic. But I've just realized I hate unscrewing the top and having to screw it back on. I hate washing them because there's just this little hole and you're not supposed to put them in the dishwasher. But this corkical stemless wine cup is the perfect thing to have by my side all day. I can keep refilling it, and it keeps the water incredibly cold for like hours. So I just always have this wonderfully delicious cup of cold water by my side.
So it's not like putting it in a mug where it's just like then it gets room temperature.
Exactly. It stays cold. And it's also just very pleasing to look at. And of course, if I ever need to take a glass of wine on a picnic, it would also be perfect for that purpose. It has a lid. It comes with a lid. So gold star to Olivia for like opening up my world to the corkical stemless wine glass.
Yeah,
and I should mention, this was on Oprah's list of favorite things this year. It's Oprah approved.
But it's not an advertiser. You're saying this from the bottom of your heart. Yes. And I'll put a link to it if anybody wants to check out the corkical for themselves. And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember to try this at home. Try the 10-minute closer, a way to tidy up as you move through your day and night. Let us know if you tried it and if it worked for you.
And thanks to our producer this week, Sarah Bentley. She's subbing in for Odelia Rubin. Thank you, Sarah, for being here today.
Yep.
Also, thank you to Kristen Meinzer and Andy Bowers of Panoply. Get in touch. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
And if you like the show, you know what I'm going to say. Please be sure to tell a friend. Help a friend. Listen to a podcast. And subscribe to us. It is really a help if you subscribe to us in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or your favorite podcasting app. The resources for this week. I have these 5 21-day projects. I really do think that in 21 days, you can make an actual change to make yourself happier without spending a lot of time, energy, or money. And I have these little 21-day happiness projects. There's one that's free if you want to try it out. And then there are 4 that are $4.99 each. And one is strategies for habit change, know yourself better, declutter your life, quit yelling at your kids, cope with a difficult person, or the one that's free is strengthen your relationships. So you can check that out. I'll put the links in the show notes. And also, if you want my checklist for habit change, that's this quick checklist that I created. If you're working on an important habit and you want to use all the 21 strategies that I talk about in my book, Better Than Before, this is just a very easy template to see if you're thinking of everything you might do to strengthen an important habit.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.